Since I started for the kingdom, since my life he controls, since I gave my heart to Jesus, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more that I love him, more love he bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Every need he is supplying, plenteous grace he bestows. Every day my way gets brighter, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more that I love him, more love he bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows.
It's a reality. That song is true. If you serve the Lord and the capacity in which he has gifted you, you can say that the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Actually, the proverb that we will be looking at in verse number 18, Proverbs chapter 4, I think the songwriter may have had this particular verse in mind. I can't say that he did, but I think he may have, because it says in verse number 18 of Proverbs chapter 4, "But the path of the just as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." Just the more you walk down that path that God has for you and you do what God has purposed and God has put you here to do, God just gives more love, more grace, more light. Amen. It's just a wonderful thing to serve a risen Savior. And I praise the Lord for this bus emphasis Sunday. I'm not going to be very long this morning. I want to just talk to you from my heart about a few things, if I may, and I believe it would be the will of God that I do that. I first of all want to say that I'm uncertain as how many people are in here that the bus ministry has in some way affected your life. We heard from Pastor BJ that he and his family, well, they got in church, they came to know the Lord as their personal Savior as a direct result of a bus coming by their home. Where are you at, Pastor BJ? Is that the way it was? I think a bus came by your families, picked you and Chuck and your sister, and maybe your mom, and then eventually Benny came along. Is that right? Or, you know, Benny, it took him a little while, but he got in. Amen. Amen. And then I think, Sister Betty, your home was no different. The bus came by in a different area, and then God brought you together. And for years, Pastor BJ and Sister Betty served in the bus ministry. But they are direct results as leaders. Here's leaders in our church treasurer, deacon, good man, and his wife right here in our church, assistant pastor and his wife, good family in our church as a direct result of the bus ministry. If I'm not mistaken, Pastor David also, as a young man, was picked up by the man who actually started this church. Pastor Josh Shiflett was at this time down at the First Bible Baptist Church and had a bus minister there, and I think he came by and picked Brother David up. Now is our assistant pastor here, and he's married to my daughter, who is a pastor, and now he and his daughter serve as, or his wife, amen, my daughter, amen. Lord, help me, that'd be terrible. He and his wife serve as assistant pastor in the church, and Meredith has just a great role in the music ministry here, and so we're grateful for how the bus ministry changes lives. Now, I'm not sure about Pastor Brandon and Miss Jennifer. I don't know if the bus ministry, did the bus ministry have a part? I think it did at Trinity, wasn't it? Yeah, Trinity Baptist there in the Piedmont area of South Carolina. Bus ministry. Also very involved in this young family being in church. Another assistant pastor in the church right here. I want you to know something. Your pastor, as a 6 and a 7 up to 8-year-old boy, rode a bus to church. And for years I put that behind me and didn't give much thought to it. But God used those formative years of my life and those people that, you know, the miracle. When I think about this, it's a miracle. I was 8 years old when I quit riding the bus. When I was 19 years old and God was dealing with my heart about being saved, this young lady that I was working with had been witnessing to me, and then there's a little girl that came by. Just many things happened. But when I called somebody to come and tell me about Jesus, I thought I was going to be joining the church, okay? I knew nothing about being saved. I didn't know what it was to repent of your sin. I just know I needed God in my life. I needed change. And I needed something that I didn't have. I needed someone that I didn't have. I didn't understand all about it. Can I tell you, the people that came to my home that night, and I want you to get this, this is the way God works, were from Southside Baptist Church. Dr. Walt Hanford was the pastor. He was the son-in-law of John R. Rice. You know what church I came from? The church that drove the bus that picked me up when I was 6, 7, 8-year-old boy. Southside Baptist Church. That's God, brethren. And so the bus ministry had a direct result in my life. So the entire pastoral staff has been affected by the bus ministry. I wonder about our deacons. If you are a deacon at Fellowship Baptist Church in the bus ministry, a deacon or a prospective deacon of the church, and the bus ministry had a role, some type of role in you getting to Christ or getting in church, I want you to stand to your feet. Any deacons that way? I know we have one. Here's another. Here's one. Here's one. Four of our deacons. What about any of our other leaders? Sunday school teacher. So y'all stand. Remain standing. Let's get our pastoral staff to stand too. If you are a Sunday school teacher working the children's department of the church, working the bus ministry, if you're a leader in the church in any capacity and the bus ministry had a role in you coming to Christ or being in church, I want you to stand up. Amen. Amen. Stand up if the bus ministry had a role in your life. I think that's great. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. The bus ministry works, brethren. It works. Bus ministry have something to do in your life? Amen. 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 And the bus ministry. Amen. You know, there's probably testimonies throughout the building that way. The bus ministry works. It's a great ministry. And I praise the Lord for those that give to it, for those that labor in it, for those that pray for it. And I'm glad to be a part of a church where there is a good, thriving bus ministry. You have your Bible open to Proverbs chapter number 4. I want to talk to you about children in the crossroads. There may be somebody here this morning and you really don't know a whole lot about bus ministry. Maybe you've heard of it or you've seen it. You see the buses pull up and the little children get off and run into the church, and maybe some of the adults. There's some adults that ride our buses as well. We don't have age restraints or limits on our buses. Anyone's welcome to ride our buses to Sunday school here at Fellowship Baptist Church. But I thought about the purpose of the bus ministry, and I thought about the era of time that we live in today. We live in sad days when, unfortunately, many people have forgotten the responsibility or either will not accept the responsibility that God has given parents to train up their children and to allow their children to know that there's two paths in life. Now, it's every parent's responsibility, whether you are what would be called a bus child, a riding child. It doesn't matter whether you live on this side of the tracks or that side of the tracks. It doesn't matter what social class you're in or financial bracket you're in. It's every parent's responsibility to teach their children about Jesus and about their eternal destiny. Here we have a man named Solomon who is teaching his children some things that was passed down to him from his father. Now that's called heritage. That's called posterity. Brethren, we're lacking it in our day. And I want to challenge you this morning as a parent. I want to challenge you today that if you have children, to train up your children and teach them just a few things that I'm going to give you. I'm just going to give you an overview today. We may look at this chapter later on as we continue our study on the family on some Sunday nights. And then if you're here and you say, well, you know what? My children are raised. I've trained up my children and I feel like that my job is done. Well, not necessarily. You may be a grandparent. And as a grandparent, you need to get involved in the forming and in the guidance of your grandchildren. Be a part of their lives. You know, oftentimes grandparents, and we say this jokingly, we talk about buying our little grandchildren everything and spoiling them. I can tell you that's not my goal as a grandfather. It's not my goal as a grandfather. My goal as a grandfather is to set a godly example for my grandchildren to look to, someone that they might aspire to be to serve God in their life. It's not to buy them everything and to quote-unquote spoil them and pet them rotten. That's not my goal as a grandfather. Listen, they may be the world's goal, but that's not my goal, and it shouldn't be your goal as a grandparent, as a Christian. It should be our goal to teach and to set an example to that generation that there's some godliness that needs to be attained. I want you to notice if you're here this morning and you say, well, you know what, as a parent or a grandparent, I don't have many children or grandchildren. What should be my role? You belong to a church that has a bus ministry. You ought to take some of these children under your wing. Meet their parents. In many instances, it'll be meet their parent. Get to know their parent. Get to know the family. See if you can go over and spend time with them and invest in their lives. That's what the bus ministry is about. The bus ministry is more than a ride to church and back. Amen? It's more than that. It's getting involved. It's changing lives. It's changing the course of someone's eternal destiny. Notice what Solomon said here. It's very obvious that he's speaking to his children, but in particular to his son. Verse number one, hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. Now Solomon is saying here to his children, I want you to listen to some things I'm going to teach you. Now young people, it's your responsibility when you're taught of your parents, when you're taught of your Sunday school teacher, when you're taught of your preacher, your children's church worker, when you're taught of your teacher at school, it's your responsibility to number one, listen. And then number two, do what you sang this morning, obey. Obey. Children, obey your parents. The question should never be why. God said it's just right. Children, obey your parents, for this is right. It's the right thing to do. And so here Solomon is saying, hear ye children, the instruction of a father. So I don't have a father. Well, you may not have one in your home. I didn't have one in my home growing up. But that didn't stop me from being taught and for having the responsibility to listen to the instructors that God put in my life. And I want to say here today that if you're here and I realize that there's single moms and I realize that the broken homes and the blended homes of our society today, and I want to do everything I can as a pastor to reach out to you in compassion. And as a church, we want to do everything we can to reach our community in all manner of homes that make it up. Now, we're not going to compromise with sin and not call sin what it is, but we do want to be gentle and compassionate and helpful to a community that's broken by sin. Can I hear an amen from our church on that? Brethren, we have a community that is broken by sin. I was teaching in Sunday school this morning that, you know, you can be hard on sin and you should never lighten up on sin, but you can be gentle toward the sinner. I recall, and I spoke to this to our Sunday school class, when that this woman was brought in adultery, taken in the very act, and she was thrown before Jesus, judged harshly by those who were accusing her. Jesus was not hard and critical and judgmental and condemning to that woman. He said, woman, where art thou, thine accusers? She said, I have none, Lord. And he said, neither do I condemn thee. But then he was hard on sin. He said, go and sin no more. You see, we need to learn where to draw those lines. I fear sometimes that we get angry at people. We get angry because people don't keep God's law, or we get angry because people won't do right. Well, we ought to be angry at sin. There's nothing wrong with being angry. We need to be angry at the right thing, at the right place, and sometimes, yes, the right people. When people are just, listen, blatantly, and where they are defiantly going against God, we ought to take our stand. But can I tell you, there's a lot of people out there, brethren. They're blinded by sin. They're in bondage to sin. They're just tied and they're restricted, and they think they have liberty, but really they're restricted and they're tied and they're bound by the sin of their addiction or the sin of their habit. And what we need to do as God-loving, God-fearing Christians is go out and tell them there's a better way. There's a better life. There's a better choice. There's a better path. There's forgiveness in God. There's love in Christ. That is the message that we need to get to a broken community. And we can do it through the bus ministry. Now, that's just one way. There's many ways. There's many ways. But that certainly is one way. Notice again, hear ye children the instruction of a father. I want to share just something quick with you, and I don't want you to feel sorry for me. Listen, if anybody leaves here today feeling sorry for me, you've missed this. I'm one of the most blessed people you'll ever meet in your life. Now, I didn't say I had a lot of wealth. Now, there's nothing wrong with having wealth. Not a thing wrong with having wealth. I do not have a lot of wealth as far as what you can see, but I believe that every Christian is a wealthy person. I just believe that. Amen. You see, when I grew up without a father. I did. And that's why, listen, I was a product of the bus ministry. My mother was struggling hard to make ends meet. And I won't get into detail. I remember one time, and I may have told this story at the church, and I don't tell it for you to feel sorry for me. I don't want you to feel sorry for me, because God's blessed me abundantly. But when I was 12 years old, I had an opportunity to meet my father. I'd only seen him one time in my life, and that was when I was 3 or 4 years old, and he was drunk then. As a matter of fact, my older brother and sister, and I was hoping my older brother Wayne would be here today to confirm this message, but they had to call my mother to come pick us up because our father was passed out on the bed in a drunken stupor. Last time I saw him until I was 12 years old. When I was 12 years old, my father's brother, my uncle, called and said, I'm going down to see your dad. He's in some type of home, and I want you and Wayne to go with me. And so we rode down with him to see my dad. When we got there, my dad broke down when he saw my older brother and cried and run and hugged his neck and then turned and looked at me and asked my brother, who's your friend? You know, that broke me. It broke me. But it did not stop me. It did not stop me. I can't explain it, but God put something in me that day that I've never lost. I didn't get saved. I got bitter for about the next 3 years, and I didn't get saved until about 6 years later when I was 19 years old. And I made my mind up after I got saved. I was saying to myself before I got saved that I was going to do it, that I was going to do it, that I was going to do it. But brethren, I didn't have what it took to be what I should be in life. As a matter of fact, I was following the same path of my dad. I was following the same path of him until I met Jesus. Thank God Jesus turned it all around. Turned it all around. I had a determination in my heart. It's going to be different for my children. By the grace of God, I'll never walk out on them. By the grace of God, I'll never turn my back on them. By the grace of God, I'm going to teach them and train them and set the example. I haven't been perfect, but God put something in my heart that day that changed my life. Young person, if you're here today, maybe a parent, you're here and you've messed up. Maybe you've messed up and you feel like there's nothing, there's no going back, there's nothing I can do. I'm telling you, there is something you can do. Don't you let the bad experiences in life, don't you let a bad habit or some pattern that you've set in your life, don't you let that define you. Let that motivate you. Lean hard on the grace of God and say, by the grace of God, it's not going to be that way from this step forward. From this place forward, it's not gonna be that way. See, you can do what God has purposed you to do when you lean on Him. We all have bad things that happen in our lives. We can't fold and quit. We can't fold and quit just because something doesn't go the way that we would like for it to go. Maybe that it went right in our friend's family, or it went right in our neighbor's situation. It's not always going to be that way. Amen. It's not always going to be that way. So what are we going to do? Use that as a crutch? Fall back on that and say, well, you know, my grandpa was a drunkard, my dad was a drunkard, I'm going to be a drunkard. And you may be without the grace of God, but if you'll lean hard on the grace of God, I'm here to tell you that God can break those chains of bondage. God can set you free and make you the father you ought to be for Jesus. It says here in verse number 1, hear ye children the instruction. Look what he said in verse number 10. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings. Here's a father who is intent on teaching his children some things. Look at verse number 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Here's a dad. Now I thank God for good godly mothers. I thank God for good godly mothers. What would our world be without good godly mothers? We just celebrated that last Sunday on Mother's Day. Thank God for good godly moms. But Dad, listen to me. God's made us the high priests of the home. And God has some expectations of you and I as dads, as fathers. We're to be teachers of good things to our children. We're to set the example. I want you to notice in verse number 14, Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. See, there's two paths in life. There's the path of the wicked in verse number 14, and then in verse number 18, there's the path of the just. You see that? Enter not into the path of the wicked, and then he said in verse number 18, but the path of the just. There's just two paths, brethren. There's just two paths. We've tried to complicate this thing and make it really what it's not. What are we to be teaching this next generation? What are we to be teaching in Sunday school and children's church and everything that we do as a church body? When we go out to the community, when we come here for worship, when we have our classes, when we have our worship time, we're to be teaching there's two paths. There's the narrow way and the broad way. Amen? Two paths. You get to choose which path you're going to take. But I'm going to tell you something. The instruction of a father, when dad gets involved, when mom gets involved, when we'll get involved with our children, it will directly impact the path that our children take. But now you got to get involved. You can't parent by proxy. You can't just show up from time to time. You can't just throw money at it. You just can't do it. You can't blow up every time that they don't do what you say if you're not teaching them what to do. So he said here in verse number 14, enter not into the paths of the wicked. I want you to watch the passion of this father. This fired me up when I read it this past week. Look at verse 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked and go not into the way of evil men. This is a father speaking to his son. You know, when I looked up here and I saw these young men up here, some of them were some of our church family's children. Some of them rode in on the bus, and I love them the same. I do. I don't care if their skin's black, white, yellow, brown. It doesn't matter to me. I love them. I want to see them serve Jesus with their life. And when I looked up there and began to talk with them and interact with them, it just put a fire in my heart. I pray to God, God, call every one of these young men to ministry. God, help them be soul winners. God, get them on fire for you. Our world's in trouble. If we don't get a hold of this next generation, brethren, I'm telling you, we're done. We're done. Praise God, through bus ministry, missions, outreach, soul winning, we can get in touch with the God of heaven and he can make an impact on these young lives. Amen. But we got to get involved, brethren. Amen. We can't just do church as usual. Amen. We can't just go through the motions, have some religious service. We got to get hold of God and get involved and say, I want to impact that young man's life. I want to impact that young lady's life. Notice what this father did in verse number 14. He said, enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of it. Look at verse 15. Now this is where the passion picks up. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. Stay away. Stay away. Stay away. Stay away. Stay away. You see the passion in that? He's driving it home. This is not just some flippant instruction as he hurries out the door on his way to work or hurries out the door on a hunting trip or hurries out the door to some melee. Listen, this is a father who set down his son and said, stay away from that evil. Stay away from that stuff. Stay away from that path. It'll ruin your life. And it will, brother. Amen. It will. Amen. I'm hurt, even to the point of disgust, at the language that I hear our young people using today. But brethren, we've got to teach them different. We've got to teach them different. They hear it from their peers. They hear it from the culture. They hear it from the community, from the environment. And it's our place to teach them, that's not the way you talk. That's not good. He mentioned this in verse number 24 when he said, put away from thee a forward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. See what this father's teaching? He's teaching the importance of staying away from evil, staying away from that's wrong, and taking the right path. He said in verse number 14, enter not into the path of the wicked. Now Jesus taught this in Matthew 7. He said, don't go that broad way. Don't go that broad way. He said in verse number 18, there's a path of the just. You want things to get better? Things to get brighter? Things to get sweeter? Going to have to do it the right way. And we need to teach our children, brethren. We need to teach them by example. I like what he said here. Look, if you would, in verse number 11. He said, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee. I have that underlined in my Bible. I have led thee in right paths. You know, as a father, I wanted to stay involved in my children's life in every aspect of it, but in particular, in their spiritual development. Dad, may I encourage you, get involved in the spiritual development of your children. You say, well, preacher, my children's done grown and gone. Do you have grandchildren? Do you have grandchildren? If so, get involved in their lives. Get involved in theirs. You say, well, I don't have grandchildren. Find you a bus child on this property. They're running around here. Listen, they're running around here everywhere. Amen. Find you a bus child in Sunday school or in children's church. Get to know their family. Invest in their lives. Pour some things into their life. That's ministry. That's ministry. I fear sometimes we think what we're doing right now is ministry. This is not ministry. It's not. This is worship. The ministry comes after the message. Just like the service follows the worship. Can I encourage you to do that? Let me give you a couple of things and I'm going to be through, okay? I'll preach this passage to you. There's some great teaching in this Proverbs chapter 4. Some great teaching. Our young people need teaching. They need training. They need someone to show them how it's done, not just tell them how it's done, but to show them. And isn't that what this father's saying, brethren? Look at it again in verse number 11. I have taught thee. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing to do. I have taught thee. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee. See, that takes teaching to another level. I told you how to do it, and I'm going to show you how to do it. That takes teaching. I led you. Follow me as I follow Christ. I have led thee in the right path. When thou goest, look at verse 12, thy steps shall not be straightened. There's so much in this. I'm having to pick and choose. You see that word straighten? It's a very interesting word. It's a very interesting word. When you begin to study this word straightened, it means hemmed in. What's being taught here? See, there's a lie that the world and the devil have fabricated, and many people are buying into it. What is that lie? The lie is that you enter into the broad way and you have all kinds of liberty. You can do anything you want to do and feel any way you want to feel and just have the best life ever. That's a lie. That's a lie. That road leads to destruction. Can I tell you that Jesus said that that gate is wide, but can I tell you the further you go into that gate, the farther along you get, the more narrow it gets, and you get all restricted, and addiction and sin and wrongdoing and guilt and shame begins to restrict and bind you to where you have no liberty, no freedom. Sin does that to a person. Oh, it's wide at the gate. It's wide at the gate. It's broad when you look at it. Like, whoa, we have all kinds of things to do here. Isn't that the way sin does? Isn't it? But you get on further down that road and you'll begin, listen, yeah. Oh, listen how it begins to entangle and snare and you become all restricted and in bondage and it just strips you of every ounce of purity and vitality that you have in life. On the other end, that narrow way. Oh, people look at that and say, oh, it's too narrow. But did you know the further you get down that narrow way, the wider the road gets? Amen. It does. You have liberties and freedoms in Christ that this world has nothing to compare with. Oh, the deception of the devil. That's what that verse in verse number 12 means. When you begin to exercise, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The more truth you know, the freer you are. I tell you, the further down this narrow way I get, the more liberty I have in Jesus. Amen? Been set free, brethren. Amen. Been set free. If you know anything about what I'm talking about this morning, you can rejoice in the Lord. Now let's close with this, all right? As I look at this, I see a father who is speaking to his son. And in verse number 3, he said, for I was my father's son. He said, I'm just passing on to you what was passed on to me. I was my father's son and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also. He's just passing down what was taught to him. Father, mother, what do you want your children to pass on to theirs? Can I tell you, a lot of it's going to be what you pass on to them. It really is. You know, a lot of these young children that come in here, looking at it from the natural eye, brethren, they don't have a chance. They don't have a chance. But looking at it through the eyes of faith, and what God can do if we would just invest in their lives, if we would just continue to reach out to them and make the difference in their life, there's no telling what God could do in their life. But we're going to have to get involved for that to happen. Or should I say, stay involved for many of us. Just stay involved. And for some, maybe get involved. All right? You think David and Bathsheba started out good? That's who he's talking about. You know that, right? Look at it again in verse number 3. He said, "For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother." That's David and Bathsheba. Didn't start out too good. And maybe you're sitting here and you say, "Well, preacher, how am I going to help somebody else? I'm struggling myself. I mean, I'm barely above water." Well, there was a time when David and Bathsheba wasn't heading in a very good direction either. I mean, drama, lying, deceit, adultery, murder, cover-up. Didn't start out very well. They repented and got right with God. And look what God done in their lives. And God can do that in your life. But you've got to mean business with God. And now they're teaching their son. What they're teaching their son? What's this couple that started out in adultery and murder and lying and cover-up? Drama. I'll tell you what they're teaching. Look at verse number 2. Good doctrine and the law of God. It's a great thing to teach your children, isn't it? Sure is. This past week I read very interesting story, and I'm going to close with this. It just shows the power of influence. There was a 16-year-old girl who was very loose in her living, to say the least. She became pregnant with child and gave birth to a little boy. When the little boy was just very young, she sold him to a stranger for a pint of beer. To fast forward the story, there's many more details. This boy was put in and out of juvenile detention centers and reformatories. They called in psychiatrists, and I mean, this fellow was a mess. This fellow went on to become one of the most notorious evildoers in America. I'll disclose his name in just a moment. There was another woman who also gave birth at a very young age. She was the wife of a preacher. Her dad was a preacher. She gave birth to 19 children. One of them, with his brother, became the founder of what's called the Methodist Church, or the Protestant movement. These two men together with George Whitefield shook two continents for God. This man wrote thousands of songs. Maybe you've heard some of them. "Can It Be?" "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." And the list goes on. I pinned some of them right here. "Love Divine, All Loves Excelling." "Amazing Love." "Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Tell." Both of these men were named Charles. The first one was Charles Manson. The second one was Charles Wesley. You see, it does make a difference, the influence that a child has. I'm not saying God can't break the chains. There's many people sitting in here today that are a testament of that. But I'm saying, don't count on the percentages. Don't just assume that it's going to happen. Don't just assume that every person that's going to rise, that every person that grows up without a dad and his dad says, "Who is dad?" is going to turn out to be a preacher. Don't assume that. Don't assume that. Because I can guarantee you, for everyone that does, there's about 100 that ends up in a pen. penitentiary somewhere or in trouble on Skid Row. We've got to get involved in people's lives. I praise God for those of you in this church that are. You've got to stay involved. Can I encourage you to do three things as we stand to our feet? Number one, you heard Brother David Brooks, and I appreciate Brother David. I appreciate everyone that works in our bus ministry. Can I encourage you to prayerfully consider getting involved in the Vacation Bible School bus ministry? Just prayerfully consider it. There's no pressure. We don't pressure people here. Listen, Fellowship Baptist Church is one of the most serving churches I've ever been a part of. And so I just encourage you to prayerfully consider, what can I do by getting involved in the bus ministry during Vacation Bible School time? Would you prayerfully consider that? Number two, would you pray for the bus ministry? The workers and the staff as they go out and they visit and knock on doors, that God would help Fellowship Baptist Church to make an impact on the communities in which we have bus ministry. We want to make a difference, brethren. I don't want to just have buses running down the road as rolling billboards advertising Fellowship Baptist Church on Gate Road. We want to make a difference on those that are inside. The message is on the inside of the bus, not the outside. Amen. The change lives. And then number three, would you consider adopting, personally impacting and influencing someone who comes in on the bus ministry? I'm going to get involved in that young man or that young lady. I'm going to meet their family. I'm going to go meet them, introduce myself to them. Now, do it right. We live in such a day, you've got to do these things right. You understand that, right? We understand that. You can't just show up at someone's house one day. These are perilous times we live in. And so we want to do things above board. We want to do things in a way that represents Christ in a positive light. We're here because we care about your family and we love your children. And just see how God would open doors for you to invest in their life. I thank God for Bus Emphasis Sunday. I'm glad that we have it here. I want to make a difference in people's lives, and I believe that many people in the sound of my voice do as well. It starts with my children and then my grandchildren. But it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. Let's bow our heads together.